spews from the heart. How you doing, my friend? Thanks a lot for being here. I appreciate you very, very much, more than you probably know. Couldn't do this podcast without you. Well, I could. And sometimes I feel like I do. I'm going to be totally honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone on this podcast. Even though, and I'm bringing up the latest stats here. Bringing up the latest numbers here. I know I'm not alone. Because, what's the latest count here? Do we add any more countries? Let's see. No, we're stuck at 50 countries. Are there only 50 countries on this earth? How many countries are on the earth? 195 countries on the earth. Now, granted, maybe not all of them have the internet. But there's still room for growth, for God's sakes. We have 50 countries. That's a pretty good feather in our cap. Top country, United States, not surprising. That's where this podcast originates from. Maybe Americans are obsessed with podcasts more than other people. I don't know. But we're number one on this list. Followed by Germany, Canada, France, United Kingdom, Japan, the Russian Federation, Australia, Brazil, South Korea, South Africa. India checks in. And beyond that, we've got from Sweden to the Netherlands, Russia to New Zealand, the Philippines to Mexico, Denmark to Malaysia, Austria to Tunisia, Norway to Bulgaria, Nicaragua, the home of my late mother, born in Managua. Hello, Managua, if you're listening, or Nicaragua in general, if you're listening. Ukraine. Thank you, Ukraine. Always praying for you, Ukraine. Italy, Austria, Chile, look at this. We're up to 911 cities as we climb towards the 1,000 mark. We'll have a big celebration on the podcast when we hit 1,000. Frankfurt, Germany, Novato, California, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, about an hour and 20 minutes away from us. Probably about 15 minutes as the crow flies. Columbus, Ohio, San Francisco, California, Olympia, Washington, our capital, thank you. Ashburn, Virginia, Sparks, Nevada, those are some of the top cities listening. But there are 911 total cities listening to the free version of the podcast. I need you to come over to the paid version of the podcast. This is getting silly. Because if all of you who are listening all over the world would just pay a dollar a month, I honestly could do these positive vibes full time. There's no question. I could do good for this earth way more than I'm doing now. With your help for a dollar a month. I mean, I don't know what the resistance is. I wish I knew. I wish I could get into your heads and figure out what this means, that you don't pull the trigger and push the button to join the podcast full time. I don't know. I don't get it. It's a daily podcast for a dollar a month. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You're listening to the podcast. You presumably enjoy the podcast or you wouldn't be listening to it. So why don't you join it? I don't understand, I guess. And that's why I'm very hesitant to do more of the free episodes, because people say, just do a free episode every day. Why am I going to do that when I have paid people who are waiting for my content? Why would I ever do that? You know what I mean? Like, if you're running a restaurant and you have a table for, like, free food samples and a table for, you know, a table of 20, and they're all paying big money for their meals. In this case, it's not big money, so that's not a good analogy. It's small money. It's potatoes, as they used to say. There's nothing. You can find a dollar a month just in your sofa cushions, for God's sakes, and on the ground at the gas station. I mean, just look around when you're leaving the Walmart or the Kmart. Not the Kmart. I guess there's none of those left. The Walmart or the Home Depot or whatever it is, and you'll find the dollar on the ground. I promise you, every month you'll find a dollar on the ground if you look for it, or in your laundry, in your closet on the floor when you take your clothes off or whatever and the coins fall off and you don't hear them hit the ground, you'll find a dollar. But it's like if the chef were like, oh my gosh, I've got this table of 20 people paying money for their dinner and these people here are just scrambling for the free samples. What do you think the priority is going to be on? It's going to be on the paid table of 20, of course, unless you're an idiot. And I'm not an idiot. You may think I am, but I'm not. So I don't mean to just browbeat you over this. I just wish even 1% of you listening on the free side would come over, pull the trigger, and realize that for $1 a month, your life will be infinitely better. I promise you, it'll be infinitely better. If you don't agree, the next month, don't pay $1 a month and quit the podcast. But the fact that 99.9999%, 100% of you are not willing to take that gamble with me kind of hurts my feelings. I'll be totally honest with you. All right. Well, welcome to the free version of the podcast. And hopefully you'll come over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Spencer Hughes. This is a study I've got to talk with you about, and it's not surprising at all. It's not mind-boggling at all. It is exactly what I talk about on Hughes from the Heart all the time. Hypochondriacs, here's the headline from studyfinds.org. Hypochondriacs still wind up living shorter lives than the rest of us. People who worry excessively about their health tend to die earlier than those who do not. That's a recent study from Sweden. It seems strange that hypochondriacs, who by definition worry yet have nothing wrong with them, should enjoy shorter lifespans than the rest of us. It's not strange. It's only strange to people that don't understand the mind. It's only strange to people that don't understand the power of your subconscious mind. You don't get it. If this is mind-boggling to you, why hypochondriacs live shorter lives, then you don't understand the mind. It's not a criticism. Most people don't understand their minds, or they'd be using them better. I mean, it's the bottom line. You don't understand how your mind works, or you wouldn't be doing half the shit that you do. Pardon my French. You wouldn't be doing it if you understood the mind. Because the mind can make you well. And conversely, the mind can make you sick. It can make you very sick. We know this from hypochondria. We know this from all sorts of things. We know that the mind can make you well from the placebo effect, among other things. That when you feel healthy, you tend to be healthier. When you feel good, you tend to have better results. When you go out into the world with a positive mindset and outlook, you tend to have more positive results in your life. Period. End of story. I mean, The hypochondriac, the pessimist, the person who's a Debbie Downer and a David Downer going out into the world will not have the same experience or success or health or wealth or abundance as the person that gets out there and is motivated to succeed because their outlook is different. It's the only thing that's different is their outlook. I've seen poor people on the street with more smiles on their faces than the people driving the expensive cars driving by them. Why is that? Why is the person driving the Mercedes scowling as they drive? And the person who's, you know, living out on the street has a good attitude. Well, there's the answer. It's a good attitude. You could be living in a $100 million mansion and want to blow your brains out. And there's a lot of very wealthy people that kill themselves. So obviously it's not the wealth. It's not the success. It's not the abundance. They lack for nothing except what they lack in their own mind. Or maybe they lack the things that really matter, like love, companionship, a relationship with people that matter. Maybe that's what they're lacking. And they realize that a $100 million mansion is not going to bring you any of those things. So this is not a shock, but let's go further into this. So the word hypochondriac is fast becoming pejorative. Medical professionals are encouraged to use the term illness anxiety disorder. So they want to, everything that has a bad connotation to it, they want to change the name of it. I think illness anxiety disorder makes it sound worse than just hypochondriac. I'm not going to stop saying the word hypochondriac. There are people who are hypochondriacs. Let's stop. You're changing the English language. Let's stop changing the languages of the world to try to appease people. You're a hypochondriac. If you think like you're always sick, your cough is always cancer, the headache is always a brain tumor, you're a hypochondriac. Let's just call it like it is. It's not anything to be embarrassed about, but that's what you are. You're a hypochondriac. So this is how the medical professionals characterize IAD. Excessive worry about health, often with an unfounded belief that a serious medical condition is present. It may be associated with frequent visits to a doctor or may involve avoiding them altogether on the grounds that a real and quite possibly fatal condition might be diagnosed. IAD can be quite debilitating. A person with the condition will spend a lot of time worrying and visiting clinics and hospitals. It's costly to the healthcare system, of course, because they're wasting resources and time and energy on people that have nothing wrong with them. The Swedish researchers tracked around 42,000 people. About 1,000 of those 42,000 people had IAD, or hypochondria, over 2 decades. They tracked them over 2 decades. During that period, people with the disorder had an increased risk of death. On average, worriers died 5 years younger than those who worried less. I mean, that's a significant amount of time that you could be spending with your children, grandchildren, family, friends, yourself. Furthermore, the risk of death was increased from both natural and unnatural causes. Perhaps people with IAD have something wrong with them after all. People with IAD dying of natural causes had increased mortality from cardiovascular causes, respiratory causes, and unknown causes. IAD is known to have a strong association with psychiatric disorders. A suicide risk is increased by psychiatric illness, and this finding seems quite reasonable. If we add in the fact that people with IAD may feel stigmatized and dismissed, then it follows that this may contribute to anxiety and depression. So this is kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy. They're saying that alcohol use, smoking, drug use, way more common in people who are anxious and who tend to be hypochondriacs, which, again, contributes to the limiting of their lifespan. I mean, it's just, it makes me a little nutty, because people have to understand the power of their own mind. Your power is endless. You have an infinite power inside of your, I won't even say inside your skull, because I don't think the mind is in the skull. We tend to think that. We were taught that the mind is in the brain, but I think the mind is in the body. I think the mind even exists outside of the body, and there are many studies, too numerous to even mention, that are posing that reality, or that potential of reality, that your mind doesn't even exist within you. It's just all around. There's just this conscious, collective consciousness and collective mind that doesn't exist anywhere specifically. I tend to believe that, by the way. But I do know that if you think everything's going to make you sick, everything you touch is going to give you cancer, everything you touch is going to give you disease, you're going to live less, you're going to live a more miserable life, and it's all in your choice to think differently. It's your choice to think thoughts of malady and disease and cancer and risk and ailments and endless things wrong with you. And it's in your power to think, you know what? I'm healthy. I'm waking up today and I'm healthier than I've ever been. I feel as great as I've ever felt. And even if it isn't true, you keep saying that over and over and over again. It goes back to Neville Goddard, who I've been discussing on my podcast, that we've been reading through The Power of Awareness together. Boy, that alone is worth $1 a month to come over to the podcast, by the way. You live as if what you want is already a foregone conclusion, whether it's to have more friends, whether it's to have more energy, whether it's to have more money in the bank, whether it's to feel better, whether it's to travel the world, whatever it is, you put that in your mind and you act as if the final result is already accomplished. You live with the desire fulfilled. And you do that enough times with repetition. Repetition is key. You can't just say, see, here's what happens, is we say to ourselves, I'm wealthy. We say it like we don't mean it. We say it 5% of the time. I'm wealthy. I'm healthy. I'm successful. And then the other 95% of the time, our minds are yakking at us, telling us why that's wrong. You idiot. You're not wealthy. You got $9 in the bank. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to see the negative. You have negative $9 in the bank. You're not healthy. You're full of disease. You're sick. Your body's falling apart. You're not healthy. You're not successful. You haven't had a job in 5 years. You're not successful. You're not abundant with friends. You don't have anybody on your list of friends. Our minds do that. The other 95% of the time, it's like people who say, I'm going to win the lottery, but they don't really mean it. They say it in a half-ass way. They buy the lottery ticket, and all the way home, they're saying, oh, how some rich guy is going to win it, or some guy back east is going to win it. I'm not going to win it. Somebody out in California is going to win it. Someone over here is going to win it. You come up with all these excuses. Someone else, of course, someone else won it. Of course, somebody else always wins the lottery. Why would you even play it? Why would you cross a bridge by foot or by car or by train, by anything. Why would you cross a bridge and all the way across you're thinking how that thing is a structural mess and it's going to fall apart and you're going to end up in the ocean or the river or the lake or whatever it is. You're going to end up dead. It's going to collapse. It's going to be a big front page headline in the world news the next day that you died crossing the bridge. Why would you do that? Why would you cross the, why would you ever do it? I mean, even if there's truth behind it, that this bridge, you know, is structurally unsound. Why would you cross it? Well, if you're sane, you wouldn't cross it, right? Why would you cross a street thinking the whole time, you know what? Just a matter of time before a bus nails me. Just before, it's just a matter of time before a drunk driver takes me out. Just a matter of time before a teen driver is texting and doesn't see me step off the curb and kills me. It's just a matter of time before I have a stroke in the middle of the street. Why would you do that? Why would you cross the street assuming you're already on the other side, right? Isn't that how most of us cross the street? We think, okay, I'm just crossing the street here like I do 1,000 times a week. I'm just crossing the street. The light's green. I'm going to look both ways. Hopefully I'm going to cross the street. And there's no question that I'm not going to make it across. I don't understand why you would choose misery over contentment. I don't know why you would choose lack over abundance. I don't know why you would choose thoughts of illness over health. I don't know because I'm not that kind of mind. I don't have that kind of mind. So I don't know. I just know that the studies are showing that if you're a worrywart, you're not going to live as long as the rest of us. If you're a hypochondriac, you're not going to live as long as the rest of us. And I want to live long. I want to live long with my family. I want to live healthy and happy. And I want to enjoy this earth and this physical plane as long as I can before I go on to the next thing. And I will do what I can to get there. And I know that worrying myself to death and being a hypochondriac is not going to get me those extra years with my grandkids someday, my yet unborn grandkids, time with my children, time with my wife, time with myself, time with my friends. It won't get me there. It'll get me less. Same way I know that smoking will take 10 years off my life. And I know that excessive drinking will take years off my life. And doing drugs will take years off my life. I understand that. So I don't do those things, right? We're the only creature on earth that knows that certain activities will take 5, 10, 25 years off our lives. And we do them anyway. And then we say, you know what? F cancer, F this, F that, F, you know, lung cancer, F that. We say F to all these things. And a lot of the times, not all, but a lot of the time, these diseases are brought upon by our own actions. And we know that going into them, and we do them anyway. And we're just strange animals. We're very strange creatures. The lion doesn't do that. The lion doesn't say, you know what, these are 20 things I could do today that will kill me. So I think I'll do them in rapid order. I'll do them in rapid succession. These 20 things are going to take years off my life. I'm going to do them today. This thing's going to end up killing me. I'm going to do it today. Tiger doesn't do that. Lion doesn't do that. The dog doesn't do that. The cat doesn't do that. Only humans do that. Only humans know. We're on a bender to die soon, and yet we lament that life is too short. Isn't that weird? We're on a bender to die young, and yet we lament the fact that we don't live long enough. We drive too fast. We drink too much. We smoke too much. We overeat. We do all this stuff, and then we cry and moan and bitch about how short life is. Fascinating creatures humans are. I'm Spencer Hughes. This is Hughes from the Heart. Hopefully our podcast made you think. That's what we try to do, is make you think and open your mind to different viewpoints and things like that. Things, paradigms that you might not normally are standing on. Getting rid of the paradigms that no longer serve you and adopting new ones that will make your life better. Join the podcast, please. Patreon.com/Spencer Hughes. There's even a 7-day free trial there, for God's sakes. There's really no risk in joining the podcast. And again, I'm astounded by these figures. 50 countries listen to this podcast. 911 cities are tuning into the podcast. God, if one of you would join the podcast today, that would be fantastic. One of you, out of the thousands that listen, it would be great. I'd love to get hundreds of you. But it'll only happen if you subscribe. So join today at patreon.com/Spencer Hughes. $1 a month. Podcast brought to you by my wife and daughter and the best candles you will ever experience. You don't want to join the podcast? That's fine. Buy yourself a candle. Buy someone you love a candle. It's too late to get it there by Christmas, because Christmas is next week, believe it or not. It's too late for Christmas. Less than a week. Christmas is in 6 days as of this recording. So it's too late for that. You missed the deadline to order them as a gift for Christmas, but that doesn't mean you can't buy them for yourselves or someone you love and for any occasion whatsoever. They now have digital gift cards, which are beautiful. You can have them for different occasions, birthdays, all sorts of different things on there. They're themed with different things, but they're digital gift cards. I love the fact that it's all digital. There's no waste of material or things like that. No energy has to be consumed to create them and then have them thrown away and then recycled or put in a landfill somewhere. You know what I mean? It's all digital. I love that. You can get your gift card today and the candles as well. They ship anywhere on earth. These candles have been in Germany. They've been in South Korea. They've been all over the United States and God knows where else, honestly. So order today at silvahousemarket.com. I'm giving you a special promo code to save 10% off your order. Spencer10, SPENCER10, saves you 10% off your order. Silvahousemarket.com. They're also on Instagram and on Facebook. Please give them a like and give them a follow. I'm Spencer Hughes. This is Hughes from the Heart. Again, please come over to the paid podcast. I need you over there. I really do. And I would love to have you. You'll love it. You're going to kick yourself for not having joined that podcast 5 years ago when I started it or whenever I started it. You'll kick yourself that you lost 5 years. Well, you didn't really, because there's an archive and you can listen to thousands of episodes the minute you join. That sounds like a bargain to me for $1 a month. And that can be joined at patreon.com/Spencer Hughes. Tell a friend about it. And thank you for listening from 50 countries and 911 cities. That's amazing. Let's get some of you onto the true podcast, the daily podcast, the Patreon podcast. That would be even more amazing. Thank you, my friend. Much love to you, and we'll talk again real soon.